Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Hi, Mr. Z. How are you?
I'm good, John. I spent my anniversary weekend, my wife and I spent our anniversary weekend in your partial hometown of Ottawa, you know, where you hang out. And it's lovely out there. And we had dinner at the Lone Buffalo restaurant, one of your recommendations.
Oh, you went to the Lone Buffalo. Okay, you didn't go to the beach house, huh?
We didn't. We couldn't get a reservation there, actually.
Ah, yeah.
So we're at the table, and the server is making small talk with us, and she says, you know, well, where are you from? And we said, oh, we have a, you know, why are you out here? We said, we like Ottawa a lot, and we have a friend who lives out here part-time. And he works in the city, but he lives out here part-time. She goes, you're talking about John Williams?
Oh, wow.
And she says she's waited on you several times at the Lone, but she knows who you are, but she's never said anything because she thinks you would be, she wants to give celebrities their distance. So when you walk down the street in Ottawa, John, people are looking at you saying, there's that John Williams guy. And we assured her that you were actually a nice person and that you would probably react well to being recognized.
Well, I would. And I do every now and then get stopped. Brandon and I do. The staff at the Lone Buffalo recognizes me because I'm a regular customer. I am surprised to hear you say they know who I am. And if they do know who I am, it's never got me a free drink, Eric. Were you able to parlay my celebrity status and do a cup of coffee or anything?
No, we were not. It's a shame. We probably should have played that card a little bit harder.
I know. You know, we'll tell John to say good things about you if we have a nice experience here on our anniversary. So you
fine beers there, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's the Tangled Roots Brewery is adjacent to the Lone Buffalo restaurant. So you've got that crafted beer right there. Do you remember the beer that you got by any chance?
We got a flight. We had I think there are four beers in a flight, and I don't remember the names of any of them, but the server had recommended them all. So,
if you had a flight, they probably included the IPA, the Devil's Paint Box.
I think that's right, yeah.
That is one of the best IPAs I've had. So, everybody, if you're listening and are interested in an IPA in LaSalle County, the Lone Buffalo Restaurant. Well, it's funny, too. I'll just finish this story with you, Eric. Then we got other things to talk about. But when you told me you were going out there, I was a little surprised. I mean, you live on the northwest side of Chicago, and you drove by plenty of nice neighborhoods and restaurants on your way to Ottawa. And so then when I heard Eric was coming out there with Johanna, I said, oh, my God, well, it's your anniversary. Well, we'll get together. I'll meet you at the restaurant, or you'll come by. And there's this long pause, and then I thought, they don't want to spend their anniversary with me. What? Just because they're in the neighborhood doesn't mean they're coming out to see me.
Yeah, we do love you, John. You know that. But
you gracefully, backed away from that. My intentions were good, but stupid, I might add.
Well, we'll go out again. Yes, you know, we went to Starved Rock on Saturday afternoon, which is just a terrific place. And we've been there before, and we spent like 3 or 4 hours hiking out in Starved Rock. We were going to go to Matthias, and then on Sunday morning, and we got rained out. It was just nasty. And so we decided to come home. So we're going to go back out to Matthiessen. And when we do, and it's not our anniversary, we're going to cash in that rain check for some hospitality from John and Brenda.
I will grant you plenty. But yes, I'm glad you had your hiking time together as a couple. Eric publishes something called the Picayune Sentinel. It's a weekly newsletter you can get for free if you email ericzorn@gmail.com. What else is on your mind today, Mr. Z?
Well, obviously the election is just about. I've been stress eating this morning, which I almost never do. I don't know what to do. I'm just waiting for the returns. And, the things that I'm following, obviously we're all watching the presidential election, and that's going to be the most important thing. But there's some other interesting races to look at, and one of them is the school board race. There are 10 districts, as I think you pointed out in your just a few minutes ago. And the Chicago Teachers Union has endorsed 10 candidates. And the Illinois Policy Institute, which is represented by our friend Austin Berg, and is much more of a charter school privatization, vouchers, things like that. They have 10. Well, actually, they only have 9 candidates because one of the districts, there's no opposition to the CTU candidate. So there's 10. 10 districts, and the endorsements couldn't be more different. And I'm really interested in seeing how those results break down. because this is really the first ballot test that Brandon Johnson has faced since he has was elected early last year. That he, you know, he is a Chicago Teachers Union former employee, and he is campaigned with bankrolled by the CTU, and he is appointing CTU-friendly people to his half of the school board. And we're going to be watching, all of us are going to be watching to see how he does. Out of nine contested races, how many are Brandon Johnson or the CTU's candidates going to win? And what's that going to tell us about the current state of public opinion about the teachers' union and their contract demands, and about Brandon Johnson and his relation to the teachers' union? I have talked to a lot of people who share my view that even though I am a union guy, I was a member of the Tribune Union, and I support teachers wholeheartedly, I'm still very wary of the Chicago Teachers Union and its power in the city and its influence in the mayor's office, and I would like to see some balance on that school board. So I voted along with Austin Berg, I have to say, in this race. I don't think I'm electing a crazy, wild-eyed, radical person. I think the woman who I voted for in my district seems reasonable and doesn't seem like she's totally beholden to any particular philosophy that offends me. But I don't want to see the CTU controlling the entire school board. I think that's not the way the public should have their views represented when it comes to running the schools.
And to those of you that think that the Chicago Teachers Union is a particularly niche or parochial issue, remember, without the CTU, you don't get Brandon Johnson. Without Brandon Johnson, you don't have some of the odd decisions and turmoil that we've had in the city of Chicago. I mean, administratively, I don't mean violence in the streets, but really the CTU begat Brandon Johnson, and Brandon Johnson every day just comes up with another way to shoot himself in the foot. So the CTU is more than just a teachers' union. They genuinely are a lever in this city. I wanted to say something, though, about the electing of school board members. I don't know. Janice Jackson was in our studio this week, Eric, the former president of the Chicago, CEO of the Chicago Public Schools. I like her a lot. And she, though, is for the democratic process of electing school board members. And I asked her, but think of all the undue influence that outside money can have on those small voter turnout issues. You can manipulate, quote unquote, the vote pretty easily if you've got a union, an organization, and or a lot of money on one side. I don't think that it's really all that democratic. She sort of dusted that off and said, well, it might not be perfect, but she's on board people having a say. And where do you land on that?
Well, I prefer to have the mayor be in charge of the school board and appoint the school board the way it's been, and have the school board be small, because I want to hold the mayor accountable. As a voter, I want to be able to hold the mayor accountable for the schools. We have 10 districts now. We're going to have 20 districts in a year, 2 years, I should say. And when you have a huge school board like that, and you have, right now there's, I think, $7 to $8 million has been poured in, a lot of it from outside sources, interest groups from around the country are all interested in trying to influence the school board election in Chicago. I don't like that. I don't like the influence of huge money like that. I think that it makes it difficult for voters to understand what's going on. I've been getting some ugly mailers in my district, associating the woman who is endorsed by the Illinois Policy Institute as being someone who's a puppet of Donald Trump and favors his Project 2025. That's just not even close to accurate, and it's just ugly, and the mailers are disgusting to people. And I just would rather have it be a simple situation, or we could have a situation where you'd have a bunch of different school districts in Chicago. You could split the city up so there's not just one Chicago Public Schools, but there's several districts, so they'd be smaller. But I'm just not in favor of an elected school board. I think it invites trouble in cities this large. Now, in smaller towns where the stakes aren't quite as high and the money doesn't come in, then I think, and people tend to know the candidates a little bit better, that makes more sense. But in a big city like this, it's kind of like electing judges. People really don't know what they're. I've had a lot of calls from people about the judges and about the school board. People want to know, and they just, they kind of I don't know. They don't know. They're not paying attention. The presidential race has sucked nearly all the oxygen out of the room. Not sure people are making really informed decisions on this. I haven't seen any debates that were, I mean, I haven't seen them. Maybe there were some, but it's just one of those things where I feel like you're asking the voters to select people, and then they don't have any idea what their qualifications really are or who they really are.
Yeah. One last thing. We'll talk about this and more issues on the Mincing Rascals podcast tomorrow. I'm going to let you go here in a second, Eric. But do you think when we record the Mincing Rascals podcast tomorrow at 2:30, it'll drop around 6 o'clock tomorrow night? It's a panel of people who care about Chicago. And we talk about national issues, but clearly we talk about local and state issues too. When we record tomorrow, do you think we'll have a sense, a very good sense about the outcome of the election?
I think so. I've been picking up a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of grassroots movement toward Kamala Harris. I think that tomorrow afternoon we will have a very good sense of where this election is going. That's just my sense. And I like to make predictions. In this case, I'm just guessing that things are going to go better for Kamala Harris than the polls are suggesting.
Hmm. You know how I feel about that. I disagree.
I know you have a different view, but.
One last thing then. Of these name changes, which do you consider the worst? One of the things you've put out there on your website, on your Substack newsletter, why are you asking people, Cook County Hospital it was, now it's Stroger, Waveland Golf Course. Well, it was Merovitz, right? But now it's the Waveland Golf Course?
No. It was Waveland, and now it's Merovitz.
The Circle Interchange to Jane Byrne, et cetera. Why is this on your radar?
Well, Axios Chicago, my friends at Axios Chicago, the daily newsletter, had a poll last week, and they did it was a bracket poll where they asked which is the worst name change in Chicago history, and they had It came down to the Willis Tower being Sears Tower to Willis Tower,
yes.
Marshall Fields to Macy's. That was the final two. But they didn't include a whole bunch of changes that had to do with politicians or other famous historical figures adding, putting their names onto things. They didn't use those because they thought that was, I don't know, they thought it was out of bounds. So I asked my readers to say which ones of the ones you mentioned, Cook County Hospital, the Stroger Hospital, and so on, which ones of those they found the worst. And so far, leading by a huge margin is the change of Lakeshore Drive to Jean-Baptiste Pointe du Sable Lakeshore Drive. People are think that's bad.
They're so still
I'm
upset
gonna
about that. Wow.
I'm going to pit those two against each other, the Sears Tower to Willis Tower against the Lakeshore Drive renaming to see who the actual winner of the worst name change is.
I've moved past the changing of the name of Lakeshore Drive. First of all, we just amend Lakeshore Drive with one word, so it's not so cumbersome. I don't know why we're so afraid of our history. I didn't like it when they did it for the reasons they did it, but that's beside the point. Of those that you put out there, to me, the worst name change is Circle Interchange to Jane Byrne, because the Jane Byrne, as we now know it, that spaghetti bowl of concrete that meets in the city where all the highways intersect, is such a train wreck. I feel bad for Jane Byrne's legacy. That's
yes.
All.
Yeah, I thought renaming Congress Parkway to Ida B. Wells was weird because Ida B. Wells Parkway now intersects with Wells Street. So it's very strange. There's already a Wells Street. And the one that bothers me the most is the Waveland Golf Course to Merovitz. I still refuse. It's been like 30 years, and I refuse to call it Merovitz.
I call it Sox Park. Okay, you can read more about this on Eric Zorn's Substack. Just email ericzorn@gmail.com. He'll sign you up for free. Thank you, Mr.
Well, Z. We'll talk tomorrow, John. Thanks.
The Mincing Rascals podcast record on Wednesdays after the show, and then we drop it in the afternoon.